an anonymous defensive coordinator on quarterback Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens. If he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's really a good football player, but I don't care if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. He'll be a one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. So many games come down to 2 minute, and that's why they have a hard time advancing even when they are good on defense. Playoffs are tight. You have to be able to throw the ball, and he is just so inconsistent throwing the ball, it is hit or miss. So, this has been covered a lot recently in big-time sports media, I guess. And I think this quote is very contradictory because he can't be number one as a quarterback if he wins league MVP 12 times, which just makes no sense to me. He's like, he's criticizing him, but then he's also complimenting him in a weird way. I don't really get it. In a way, I don't really understand why this is such a big deal. I mean, it kind of really should have been ignored, but I guess if you have a publication like The Athletic putting it out, then I guess it's going to be kind of a story regardless. The point of the advancing far in the playoffs, that makes more sense to me, but the fact that he's just not a overall good quarterback is a little off. So I think the Ravens do kind of find themselves with the way their offense is sometimes, is if it's a little too run happy, then if they're down, the passing offense, it's really tough for them to get back into games once they suffer a decent, say, 2-touchdown-plus deficit. But to go back to the part that's really making people say these are harsh criticisms towards Lamar Jackson, yeah, I think it's a little foolish to make these kinds of comments. To go to another storyline that happened within the last few days. This is from an anonymous coach who took a shot at Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. And the quote is, "We love Mahomes because of his unorthodox throws, not because of his natural pocket presence. And when that disappears, that is when they lose games. Take his first read away, and what does he do? He runs, he scrambles, and he plays street ball." Which makes me think, and this was from an anonymous NFL defensive coach. So if we want to get into kind of theorizing conspiracy theory type of deal, is this the same coach? And I can't confirm that, because obviously when you have anonymous quotes, that's as far as it's probably going to go, unless it somehow gets leaked out, which is kind of rare. So the comments on Jackson and Mahomes falls under the criticism of the black quarterbacks in this league. And I am interested to see what this, or if it is a singular coach making these quotes. I wonder what his comments would be towards a quarterback, say like Justin Herbert or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, those younger white quarterbacks. Because just makes you think, like, would the criticisms, or are the criticisms different just based on race versus the actual talent that you're evaluating and seeing? Because it falls under, at least for Lamar Jackson, it falls under the thing that Bill Polian was saying leading up to him getting drafted by the Ravens, was like, oh yeah, he's going to be more of a receiver, or that's what it'll turn into, not a quarterback. And meanwhile, this was a Lamar Jackson who at Louisville won the Heisman Trophy for being a quarterback. So I think just the lack of embrace for the different skill set at quarterback. I mean, granted, you had Michael Vick in the early 2000s at his peak, but it seems like there's always just that senseless criticism of, oh yeah, he can't be a good quarterback. And my speculation is that it does have to deal with the skin color of the quarterback, unfortunately. But that's just how and you see it in sometimes in draft evaluations, how, oh, this quarterback reminds me of this because he looks like this guy. And I know that's gotten better, but that's what you kind of used to see, like, oh, black quarterback getting drafted, oh, let's compare him to a black quarterback, or white offensive lineman getting drafted, let's compare him to another white offensive lineman. So that's the thing that I, like I said, I hate to want to have it be the case, but that's kind of what I'm seeing here, especially if it is the same coordinator or coach or whoever it is. But if it's different, I mean, maybe that's just a general overall mindset of what's going on. But to just dive into the Patrick Mahomes quote there, if we're just looking at it from a purely football perspective, I mean, I think the unorthodox play of Patrick Mahomes is what makes him the MVP level quarterback. He has the ability to scramble when the offensive line breaks down. That's what has made the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know if you go to the Super Bowl when they were playing Tampa Bay, like, of course, like, Mahomes was running, I don't remember what the stat was, but I think he ran like something like 300 or 400 yards of scrambling in that game, which is just ridiculous. And that kind of tells you how unhealthy that offensive line was. But yeah, to say that natural pocket presence isn't there, or if it disappears, is a thing that weakens Mahomes' skill set, I would kind of have to disagree with that. So yeah, so that's what I got in terms of those quotes that came out and some of the criticism that these quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, were receiving. To kind of continue with the coaching route, but not in terms of coaches' criticism, but just coaching staffs in general, I want to talk about the New England Patriots. And the big hot button issue that's been going on with them is not naming their offensive coordinator after Josh McDaniels left for the head coaching job with the Las Vegas Raiders. And the big speculation is, okay, who is going to be the quote unquote offensive coordinator? Is it going to be Matt Patricia or is it going to be Joe Judge? And you have the official titles for these guys: Matt Patricia, senior football advisor and offensive line coach; Joe Judge, offensive assistant and quarterbacks coach. And from my perspective, you're dealing with a Patriots team who hasn't had an official defensive coordinator since Matt Patricia left for the Lions head coaching job back in 2018. So the fact that it's happening on the offensive end is not surprising. I'm not like, oh my goodness, the offense is going to suffer because of this. That's really not the case. And I really don't know why it's getting so overblown by like sports media. It's such a big discussion topic. Maybe it's because you have a quarterback in Mac Jones who's entering a sophomore year in the league, and you want to have that definitive voice. And there was really no more definitive voice on offense than Josh McDaniels, who was their coordinator for such a long time. Heck, he even turned down the Indianapolis Colts head coaching job, what was it, like 5 years ago, to remain the coordinator for the Patriots. And I kind of thought that McDaniels was going to take over for Belichick once Belichick ended up retiring, whenever that was going to be, but that wasn't the case. So yeah, like I was saying, the defensive coordinator position has kind of been shared between the linebacker coach of Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's son, and Gerard Mayo, who was a former linebacker for the New England Patriots. So those two have been sharing the role. I think last season, Steve Belichick has kind of really taken over the defensive play calling from what it seemed like. I think it's kind of a meme now, but when he was, the pictures of him on the sideline when they were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 4, it appeared Steve Belichick was really on the headsets and really doing the play calls for the defense. But yeah, it's not a bit, it's kind of just like relax, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't think of it as a big deal that we don't have, oh yeah, Patricia, you know, he's the offensive coordinator, or Judge, yeah, he's the offensive coordinator. I think there's such a well-run system in New England that they have it figured out. And because of the unknown of what the people on the outside don't know, I guess, even though we're starting to see it here at training camp, and it looks like Matt Patricia is kind of taking the lead on it, it's just that unknown of, okay, so what's going to happen on game day? I'm a little concerned here. Is this going to affect us? How's this going to work out? When really, I think they have it under control. So I'm just, like I keep saying, I guess, let's just relax here. I think everything's going to be fine in terms of play calling. There's going to be assigned roles, and in fact, this could very well help Mac Jones thrive. I want to finish up with, I figured I'd do kind of a, not necessarily a last season review of the 2021 NFL season, but I wanted to kind of just highlight some things and answer, I guess, questions of what you thought the best of this was or whatever it may be. So the first one I wanted to start off with, and for this episode, was what was the best quarterback performance you saw in the 2021 season? And I have two kind of nominees here. One that I guess a lot of people would agree with, and then one that was kind of flew under the radar just because of how big the game was. And I think it kind of overshadowed the a particular quarterback performance in that game. And I think the result did that too. And this is excluding the playoffs. So, of course, I would probably put the Mahomes, Josh Allen game, playoff game in Kansas City, the divisional round game. That is, of course, at the top of the list, because that was just insane, the amount of scoring that was happening late in that game, just the back and forth. Eventually, Kansas City, of course, won that game. But for the regular season, I believe this was week 17. It was the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And the quarterback performance from that game, you're thinking, oh, it's probably Mahomes. No, it's Joe Burrow for me, who had 446 yards, was 30 of 39, 4 touchdowns, a 148 passer rating. And by the way, a perfect passer rating is 158.3. So pretty close to perfect for Joe Burrow in terms of passer rating. The Bengals were down 21-7 in the second quarter of this game. So yeah, that was impressive, because it told me that Joe Burrow and that Cincinnati Bengals offense could roll with the punches and the deliberate scoring of the Kansas City Chiefs offense, and when it came to playoff time, could very well beat them, which actually happened, and which brought the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl, eventually losing to the Rams, but beat the Chiefs in Kansas City in that AFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl. So yeah, it showed that the Bengals were ready to play. And actually, that win clinched the AFC North for them in that Week 17 matchup. So yeah, there's overall what that meant for the longevity of the Bengals season. I mean, granted, yes, they did play in Kansas City, so it didn't affect the seeding that way, to where Cincinnati would get a home game for the conference championship game. But that, I think, proved to everybody on the national stage that, oh yeah, the Bengals are for real. They can really do this with their weapons of Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, those receivers, and the arm that Joe Burrow has. And you also have like Joe Mixon at running back. These guys can really play with anybody. Now, coming up this season, we'll see how it works, because it looks like Baltimore is going to be much better, much healthier. But yeah, that game was a proving point to I think a lot of people that, oh yeah, Cincinnati is here to play. Now, the kind of under the radar or underrated, whatever you want to call it, quarterback performance, and like I said, overshadowed by the actual game that it was in, was in week 18, the last game of the regular season, Sunday Night Football, between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, if you remember, this game was for the last playoff spot in the AFC for the playoffs. And on a technicality, if both teams tied, they would have both been in the playoffs, and that would have knocked Pittsburgh out. But that didn't end up being the case. Vegas ended up winning. But the performance I want to highlight is from the losing quarterback of the game, who is Justin Herbert, who in terms of completion percentage, not that great, like 34 for 64. But he had 383 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And it wasn't necessarily his performance throughout the entire game, like a lump sum of the effort, but it was what was happening towards the end of the game. And I mean, both of these teams were just absolutely exhausted. The receivers, I don't even know how they weren't needing an oxygen tank like during some of these drives. But the way Justin Herbert was getting hit by the constant pressure of Max Crosby on the outside, the way he was able to handle that kind of adversity, and I'll kind of highlight just the amount of drives, like the third down and fourth down conversions they had to complete just to stay in this game. So I'll do that now. And so in this game, it was 29-14 with about 8.5 minutes to go in the game. So now the Chargers are getting the ball back, and this would end up being the second to last possession of the fourth quarter here and of regulation. So like I said, down by 15. On this drive, the Chargers converted a third down, a fourth down, a fourth and 21, which is ridiculous. And then once they scored the touchdown on the drive, they converted a two-point conversion to get it within 7. Now, the following drive, the Raiders, it was a quick, I believe it was a 3-and-out, and they punted back to the Chargers. So down 7 with, I think there was like roughly 2 minutes left in the game. The Chargers go driving again, and they convert a 4th and 10, a 3rd and 10, a 4th and 10, and then with 12 seconds left in the game, I think as time expired in the game, and it was at the 12-yard line. There we go. That's why I got confused. So as time was expiring, 12-yard line, they score a touchdown to tie it up and make it 29-all, so they can head into overtime and play. Basically, the season's life is on the line. And so they exchange field goals in the overtime period. And I think in the drive that led to the Chargers field goal, they converted another like 4th and 6 or 4th and 9 to stay in the game. So another fourth down conversion. But then eventually the Raiders go and kick the winning field goal because it was sudden death at that point. But just to highlight again, and I'll go through all these last few drives the Chargers had and those conversions. So here we go. Had a third down conversion, a fourth down conversion, a 4th and 21, and the 2-point conversion. Next drive, 4th and 10, 3rd and 10, 4th and 10, and TDS time was expiring on the 12-yard line. Overtime, another 4th and 9. So just ridiculous. And it was, I mean, in terms of just like thinking out loud reaction, it was making me go crazy that they kept converting these 3rd and 4th downs. And they looked dead in the water multiple times and just somehow were able to stay in. And unfortunately, like, I just wish this game ended in a tie so both of them would get into the playoffs, because it would have been cool to see. I think it would have lined up to be either Justin Herbert versus Josh Allen or Justin Herbert versus Patrick Mahomes, the way the seeding would have been, which would have been, of course, unreal, just especially after seeing what Justin Herbert did in the game, especially towards the end of that game. So those were my two if we're talking regular season, because like I said, Mahomes and Allen, just a league of their own in that divisional game. But regular season, I had to go with week 17 with Burrow versus Kansas City, kind of claiming that, hey, Cincinnati's here to play. And then week 18, where Justin Herbert just, I mean, did everything he could to keep the Chargers alive. But it, unfortunately, it didn't work. So those are my two, Burrow and Herbert. Congratulations. 2021 best quarterback performances that I saw.